Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
Free the land, free the land. Welcome to another episode of the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of African people. My name is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amadi, and today we have a very, very good show. We have some of the brightest minds in the New African community here to talk about a variety of things. It's going to be an open discussion, so we're just going to jump straight into this thing. I'm going to allow the panelists to introduce themselves. Panelists.
I am Brother Akeem Bekele. I am an IT specialist.
Yeah, greetings. I am Kokaya Jamu.
I am Sister Ayadele. I'm an educator.
I am Fatma Ak. I am an artist.
I am Brother Hamisha Halafu Tumwa. I am a teacher, leader, educator, and organizer.
I am Johari Kathana. I'm a community activist.
And of course, my name is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amadi. Brother Hamisha, if you could, introduce the first topic.
The first question to the panel is, what are the causes of black-on-black crime? And I'm using the word black because it's convenient for those who don't understand in terms of New Africa. So that is the only reason that I'm using the word black.
Sister Ayodele, what do you think about that?
I feel that black-on-black crime is a result of centuries of enslavement and economic exploitation. It is the reaction of a people who do not have many choices as far as trying to provide for themselves, particularly when you talk about food, clothing, shelter. We do not have those opportunities to progress. We look at our neighbors and we see that they may have some of the things that we want. We know that the first law of survival is to have what we need. And when we do not have those basic needs, the first reaction is to take. And unfortunately, we are in situations where we're in neighborhoods with people who look like us, and we're going to take from the closest individual that we can, which is going to be someone who's just as exploited economically as we are.
One of the main causes for black on black crime is poverty. By design, we are at war. We are considered useless eaters. They have used black codes, the 13th Amendment, economic warfare, psychological warfare, chemical warfare, all of these different agents in order to cause conflict, rebellion and retaliation against each other.
Black on black crime is another propaganda filled campaign in a long line of other buzzwords that they use, whether it be insurgents or refugee. It's just another way that they have to isolate us and to demonize us as a people. What makes black-on-black crime no different than white-on-white or Hispanic-on-Hispanic crime? It's all still crime.
Black-on-black crime most definitely stems from us being enslaved as a people, from slavery up until now. We have always been exploited, and we have always been taught to force and taught to hate one another, disrespect one another, think of each other as lower or not as good. So moving from slavery, from chattel slavery, to the continuation of slavery through capitalism, we still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources, common resources that everybody should have on the planet Earth. We're fighting for.
One of the reasons why we don't have a grasp on this black-on-black crime is because we don't know that the participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system. Black-on-black crime is done because of a lack of respect for one another. Black-on-black crime is committed because of poverty or the lack of resources. And so these elements come into our community because we are victims of this neo-colonialist capitalist system.
Black-on-black crime is caused by the same thing that most crime is caused by, and that's a lack of resources. Whenever you get a people in a situation where they lack the resources that are necessary for their survival, you're going to get an increase in crime, because the first law of nature is self-preservation. A people will do whatever it takes in order to survive. That is simply human nature. It applies to everyone across the board when you get in a situation where the resources are scarce. Matter of fact, it's called the scarcity mentality. Number two, black-on-black crime is also caused by a severe case of self-hatred within our community. This is the result of us being under a system of white supremacy for hundreds and hundreds of years. We have been indoctrinated into this system of white supremacy. In fact, we have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people. That makes it easy for us to commit crime against each other. The third thing is, in today's time, under this system of capitalism, which was designed to make maximum profit for the bourgeoisie at the expense and exploitation of the working class, a proletarian, under this system of capitalism, black-on-black crime has become extremely profitable for the ruling elite. Record labels make millions of dollars off of silly Negroes who create songs and sing about selling drugs and committing violent acts toward each other and other self-destructive behavior that is detrimental to our people. Now, these companies make millions of dollars off of these things, and one of the things that it does, it creates an environment in which it's not only acceptable for black-on-black crime, but black-on-black crime is celebrated. And this is one of the reasons why our community is used to provide the bodies for the prison industrial complex. And understand, the prison industrial complex is a multi-billion dollar industry. Hundreds of Fortune 500 companies get their labor from the prison system, and they're only paying these prisoners a few cents an hour. Now, if you read the 13th Amendment, it will tell you slavery was not completely outlawed. It was outlawed for all situations except for individuals who were convicted of a crime or felon. So legally, in the prison system, you can be enslaved. So this black-on-black crime is profitable under the system of white supremacy, under the system of capitalism. So there are several reasons why black-on-black crime exists. And we will be back right after this. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa.
Free the land.
Free the land.
Free the land. Free the land. We're back. You are listening to the Voices of New Africa. I am your host, Brother Prophecy, and we have a live panel discussion with some of the brightest minds in the New African community. What we want to talk about now is, see, a lot of people say that in America, we're not really free, that these laws are oppressive, that we actually live in what people refer to as a police state. So this is what we want to get into right now. What is a police state? And do we live in a police state in America?
We live in a police state. We've always lived in a police state within this country. Police state is most definitely an extension of the military. I personally call it the military for the citizens, because we do not move freely within our society as we, most of us, think we do, because we have to ask permission for everything. We ask permission to drive. We have to have insurance to drive. We have to have permission to stand in front of a building. We have to have permission to speak in a certain way. We can't, even though we so-called have freedom of speech, that's not necessarily true, because if we slander the government in any type of way, we're terrorists.
The police state is a term used where every citizen of the state is being monitored. Every move, every direction, all your activities, they monitor your social media, your phone calls. They militarize the police, where they have tanks and battering arms and mace for the citizens. That's what a police state is, where everyone is being monitored day and night. Throughout their travels, they can tell you what time you left home, what time you returned. They have over 800 cameras throughout the city to make sure that you're monitored.
A police state is the United States. That's a prime example of what a police state really is. To define the different aspects of a police state, then you have to look at some of the laws and regulations that have existed in the United States. For one, you have to register your car, so you're monitored. If you have a vehicle, you have to have a license in order to drive on the streets of the United States. You also have to have a license to practice a profession in another state. You have to have licenses to actually provide a living for your family. This is an example of what a police state does. It monitors the systems, the citizens, and everything that they do, from the conversations that they have on their cell phones, to the text messages, to the traffic lights having cameras, to the police force having body cams, to the police cars having cameras on them. They're watching us day and night.
In order to understand the phrase police state, I think it's best to analyze the words that make up the word as a whole. The word police can be used to describe people carrying armed weapons throughout the state or throughout your community, your neighborhood, carrying armed forces for the enforcement of so-called law. But then there's also another way of looking at the word police, and to mean being restricted, to being watched, supervised. And I think it's that definition which best suits the completed term of police state, because we are watched, but the state is our state of mind or our state of being. We are being watched in both.
The police state is just an evolution and higher form of the slave catchers when we talk about the history of black people. We use the term citizen. We've never been citizens, except on paper. Our whole relationship with so-called police, slave catchers, has been to monitor, to make sure that African people, former slaves, do not rise up, do not become more educated, do not understand our relationship with neocolonialism and colonialism in this country. They do not want to see us rebel. And when we say rebel, in other words, say that we have never had equal
opportunity in this country. We've never had equal status, equal education, anything. So we are constantly being monitored. Laws that apply to us do not apply to other so-called citizens in this country. So a police state for us has always been there. It's never been anything different.
The police state is a product of U.S. imperialism on a domestic front. Anytime there is a society in which has a system which is based on the exploitation of its so-called citizens, there is always going to be a real possibility or a real threat that these so-called citizens will rebel and uprise against this system of exploitation. Therefore, in order to maintain the power structure, the ruling class or the ruling elite create oppressive laws that monitor the movement of its so-called citizens, and at the drop of a dime can take away any rights that the so-called citizen thinks he has. That's why it's extremely important that we be on alert whenever we hear people in power or the mainstream media focus on a so-called boogeyman, focus on an Al-Qaeda, focus on an Islamic State, focus on a war on terrorism. People in power create these boogeymen in order to place fear in the hearts of its so-called citizens, so the so-called citizens will invite these laws and beg for you to protect them, therefore justifying the creation of this police state. Now, for New African people, we have historically been the biggest threat to this system of exploitation because we have been the biggest victims of this system of exploitation. So we have always lived under a police state. So in short, the police state is the government's total control and oppression of the people for the purpose of preventing the people from uprising against a system of oppression and exploitation. We'll be right back after this. Free the land.
And this is what we really have to be about, is the process of building a nation as a people. If you're not thinking in terms of nationhood, then I must say, frankly, you're not thinking seriously of being liberated. Trying to integrate and merge with our enemies is not going to solve our problem. And it's not going to happen, as a matter of fact. It is a fantasy that has kept us from taking care of business for far too long. The idea that we are going to one day be one with these people. That we are going to merge into invisibility with these white folks. And even if that were possible, we should question our motives for wanting to do so. Now, why would you want to merge with the world's greatest criminals and thieves? With the people who have the worst values the world has ever known?
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land.
We're moving now to dealing with the power. All of these outstanding brothers and sisters here dealing with problems, and so that the listening audience will be able to hear some of the views of advanced brothers and sisters. And now we're going to deal with the issue of when America collapsed, what's next? We have people from all over the continent, North American continent, going to be struggling to get what they want. You're going to have Mexico trying to get back in terms of Texas and California and other land. You're going to have the Indians trying to get back theirs and so forth. What would be the solution to black people's problem, to New African problem? Do we establish our own independent sovereign nation in the area in which we were enslaved for so many centuries? Do we return back to the motherland if some nation there accept us back? What would be the solution for us?
Our solution as African people here in America would most definitely be, the more organized solution would most definitely be to create our own independent sovereign nation. We have the means, we have the talent, we have the know-how, All we have to do is come together under an organized establishment and do the work that's necessary, because we do it anyway.
So when imperialism falls here in the United States, we have to tell ourselves what is going to be our historical responsibility to our children's 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 children. We who are the descendants of enslaved Africans have a historical responsibility to set up a better place, a more harmonious place, a place where we can implement more socialist objectives and attitudes. We are waiting for a time when African people get to a point where all solutions have been exhausted in this country. We have been treated horribly, continue to be treated horribly, and we need to start setting up our mechanisms to establish a government that's going to be better for our children's children's children. We need to ask ourselves as men and women, new Africans, is this the life that we're going to leave our children's children's children? No, it is not. We're saying that there are solutions. The blueprint has already been laid down. All we have to do is look within ourselves, step outside of a box, and begin to implement those strategy and tactics.
From a historical perspective, people of melanated descent were having empires long before the European even thought about organizing to that extent. So, to answer the question, what's next, I believe we should look to our past ancestors and reestablish what we've already began off with.
I would argue establishing an independent, sovereign, new African nation should not only be what we struggle for after the fall of America, but it should be what we struggle for now. Because if you look at all of the problems in which our people face, indirectly or directly, can be traced back to the relationship between the people in the United States Empire, which is a colonial relationship. See, as long as we're under a system which is not focused on solving the problems of the people, but instead they're focused on the exploitation of the problems, the exploitation of poverty, crime, mass incarceration, disease, exploitation for the purpose of gaining maximum profit for the ruling elite. As long as we're under a system like that, our problems will never be solved. The foundation of freedom is land. Therefore, we need land in which we can control, so we can create and implement the type of systems that cultivate the talents of the people so they can be used for the betterment and upliftment of humanity as a whole. I don't believe that we should wait to the fall of America before we struggle to create an independent sovereign nation here on the North American continent. I think we should be struggling for that right now, today, because it is the real solution to the problems of our people. We'll be right back after this. Free the land. Free the land. Free
the land. The revolutionary documentary that exposes the true cause of police violence.
Police don't really serve and protect our community. It feels more like a military occupation.
The police has violated us. They've abused us.
Europeans know that this is their system. This is a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant society that was made for white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
The police violence is just the straw that breaks the camel's back.
This is lawless gangs of thugs roaming the streets.
Riots will not solve the problem. It will require revolution.
The modus operandi was to induce fear and create terror in the hearts of our people.
We have to look at history. If we don't understand the history of the problem at hand, then we can't come up with a solution.
The police were created to enforce this system of white supremacy.
Police terrorism coming soon. You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
And we're back. You're listening to the voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people. Before we left, we were talking about establishing an independent new African nation here on the North American continent. So what we want to talk about right now, and how we want to end the show, is Is there anyone already advocating or anyone already struggling for this? Did any of our ancestors, our elders, lay the groundwork for the establishment of an independent new African nation here on the North American continent? So we're going to get right back into this with the panel.
Brothers and sisters, we have a wonderful panel here tonight. And the next question, what is the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa?
A provisional government is a government set up for a nation to establish its position before the UN to be recognized as a nation, which requires at least 250,000 members. The Republic of New Africa has been set up by a panel in 1968 to establish such a nation.
We have a blueprint already in existence with the Republic of New Africa, which was established in 1968 in Detroit, Michigan, when our ancestors and elders got together and created our Constitution, Code of Blackness, our Declaration of Independence, and it designated the territory, and that was the five Southern Belt states of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina. So we have the blueprint, we have the means of doing it, and in the event that it's time for us to enact that, we have an organized provisional government that's there to guide and direct us to that successful new independent sovereign nation.
When we talk about a provisional government, we talk about the right of a people to set up their own land, set up their government, and according to the Declaration of Human Rights, we have that right because we have been taken from our land, our language has been taken from us, our culture has been taken from us, we have suffered under chattel slavery, and our ancestors and elders declared to the world through our declaration that we were going to set up inside of the United States a government that would be governed by black people. We would have an economic system, we would have schools, businesses, we would rule ourselves, and we did this in 1968. We are declaring to the world that we have the right, the human right, to be able to do this, and we're asking people of African descent to read these documents, to understand what they mean. We're not talking about setting up a government that is going to be exploitive, such as capitalism and neocolonialism and imperialism. We're saying that our government is going to be based on socialism, scientifically, and we're going to live communally with science governing us, technology, and all types of things here in the United States. And we do understand that when we set up this government, it is going to take a lot of work, but we have plans, we have a system that has been put in place, and we're just willing, we're waiting on the world to acknowledge our government so that we can begin to put it in place and to implement it.
The provisional government of the Republic of New Africa is the only one that has the solution. Ask yourself any question you want. What other group, what other club, what other organization have any plan after the empire falls? What plan do they have? None. Is it the Huey P. Newton Rifle Club? No. Is it the New Black Panther Party? No. What solutions do anyone have after the empire falls for our people and for future generations? The provisional government of the Republic of New Africa has that already established. It's called the Code of Umoja. The Code of Umoja is our constitution. Within the constitution, it has the Declaration of Independence and the New African Creed. It has already been established by our people in terms of how to set up government. We also have four other particular documents that points out in terms of how to implement and establish cities. We already have that. Don't no other body on this continent have that to offer to our people. So I would easily find it easily to say that the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa is the only one that offers a solution. And anyone out there in radio land, if you can name anyone else, whether it be red, black, and green, whether it be blue, black, and brown,
What do you have to offer our people after the empire falls? Nothing.
And we're almost out of time, but in conclusion, the only way for us to collectively solve the problems of our people is to break away from those systems that are producing the problems. We must break away from the system of white supremacy, the system of capitalism, of imperialism, of neocolonialism. We must struggle to establish an independent new African nation right here on the continent of North America, and that process has already begun. In 1968, our elders, many of them have now become ancestors, met in secret to establish the Republic of New Africa. They declared our independence. The problem is, many of our people don't know that. Join us next week as we always attempt to raise the consciousness of our people. Free the land.
Free the land. Free the land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence.